Psalm 95 in your Bibles again. Psalm 95, where I want you to notice a word, a specific word in the psalm used as both a verb and a noun, which are a reminder of one of the greatest, most encouraging revelations about our God. Verse 4 says, "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Now, the word I want you to notice is the word made. He made it. Cecil Alexander, in her 17th century children's book, wrote those familiar words, "All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all." The sea is his, it says here. He made it. And then you will notice the word uses a noun in verse 6. "O come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Our Maker. You say, "Pastor, that word is one of the greatest and most encouraging revelations about our God today." Oh, yes, it is. The very first truth about God, you never think of this, the very first truth revealed about God is in the very first line of Scripture. In the beginning, God created. Our God is a creator. He makes things. He made the seas, he made us, and thus the last word in verse 6 is the word maker. And if you want to know why that's so vital and so encouraging, then I really hope you'll listen for the next few moments very carefully. I'm speaking on the subject made in heaven. Made in heaven. You know, there's a lot of product in this country that has a tag that says made in China, made in Mexico, made in Vietnam. My Pillow says, "Made in the USA." You know, I know that only God is omnipresent, but Mike Lindell, inventor of the My Pillow, thanks to your support, you've helped him become one of the fastest growing companies in America, and also almost omnipresent, obviously. But made in the USA, made in North Korea, said no one ever, of course. A lot of product is identified by where it's made. But it is critical to remember and to know this morning that there's also something that is made and only made in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We need this reminder today. And I ask, Father, that we will both hear it and heed it as your people, because we thank you for revealing this truth about you to us. And we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Three things I want us to consider this morning in the 95th Psalm about the word made and the word maker. And the first one you'll notice concerns, number one, the place. Look again at verse 4. "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. And he made it. His hands formed the dry land." Now, obviously, when we're talking about a place that was made, we're talking about this place. We're talking about this earth. And you know what? Anybody with eyes and with all of his senses will see that this place can sometimes take your breath away. Yes, I'm talking about the Grand Canyon, a sunrise over the ocean, a great field of tulips, a bald eagle that's soaring. Those things are amazing. But so are the little things in this place. My sister sent me a picture a few days ago of my elementary school in Satellite Beach, Sea Park Elementary. And when I saw the picture, I had this memory of my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Ehrensbeck. She was German, and she was tough. And if you talked in class, she had the same consistent penalty. You had to step out the back door and sit outside until class was over. It was supposed to be a sanction, and for some people it was, for everybody else it was, because who wants to sit out in the grass in the hot Florida sun? Answer, me. You know, there are times when, for an 11-year-old boy, sitting in a sixth-hour class, it's just crushingly boring. And so at least once a month or so, I would talk in class on purpose so that Mrs. Ehrensbeck would send me out to the gulag. Actually, she was German. We actually did call it the Stalag. Time to go to the Stalag. Go to the cooler. And so I would honestly, on purpose, talk so I would be sent outside as a punishment. But what she never knew is that I loved it out there. And the reason why I loved it out there is that there were all these antlions in the sugar sand out by the little sidewalk. And so, of course, I would harvest a few ants and toss them into that fantastic cone-shaped trap the creature built, and then watch the wonder of nature. The larvae of antlions burrow down where you can't see them, and so at the bottom of this death trap, they just wait for an ant to disturb little grains of sand, and when they do, it alerts the antlion down there, and then when the ant tries to get out of that little cone and escape, the antlion takes his pincers and throws this sand towards the top and makes it treacherous and slippery, and the ant just keeps sliding down until it slides one last time. It's gone. It's a horror show, and it's awesome. And you know, if there's no ants to throw into the cone, it's just as fun to take a little stick and disturb the sand and watch the antlion spaz out trying to find the non-existent prey. It's amazing, more so than Mrs. Aaron Speck talking about dependent clauses and fragmented sentences, amen? And by the way, I'm not a barbarian in that sense. I also remember when we moved to North Carolina for my dad's new job. And we didn't have a house as of yet, and so we stayed in an old motel on a country road in Asheboro. I don't know how many weeks we were there, maybe months, my mom knows. But those are still some of my favorite memories in life. Huge, huge oak trees surrounding that motel. Quiet, cool nights. And for me, watching all of these squirrels every single day, I would just sit on the front porch area in those summer mornings and watch the woods wake up. And those squirrels, the way that they would maneuver the little bushy tail and their big old eyeballs, I'd watch them hang on a branch with three of their legs and then reach as far as possible with their little squirrel hand and grab an acorn. And the way they would eat the acorn and look up and look around and go back to eating and throw it away like a spoiled king and go get another one. It was half eaten. And then it was just jumping from tree to tree. It was amazing to me, way up high, and never once fall down. They were just squirrels, but they were literally hours of entertainment. He said, Pastor, I don't have hours every day to sit around and watch squirrels and antlions. I know you don't. But isn't it a marvel that there's a billion more things we don't have time to watch and see? Isn't it a marvel that there are millions of things out there that the Maker made? That in fact, you could live 1,000 lifetimes and barely scratch the surface of the wonders of this place. Well, God just wants you to know that He made it. He made this place. But that brings us to the second thing in the text. Number one, there is a place. Number two, you'll notice there is a people. Verse 6. He says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Here is the response of seeing the place that God made. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, wait a minute. Our Maker? Oh, yes, our Maker. You see verse 7? For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Now, folks, note this. When it says in Genesis that God made this place. As you all know, with every step in creation, He said, it is good. He saw that it was good. However, when God made you, when God made mankind, it says He saw that it was very good. As good as the place is, the people, God said, is very good. Good. So that, note this, right off the bat, the Lord makes a distinction between the place and the person. It is a distinction that Satan has tried to obscure and sometimes even reverse since the day that man was created. How much better, Jesus said. This is the Creator Himself. Jesus, how much better is a man than a sheep? And people will say, none. Not better at all. Oh, but the Bible says that you and I were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now look, unbelievers like to point out that earth came before man, that the place came before the people. That's true. But folks, that's because the place was made for the people. In other words, the maker who made both the place and the person only made the person and the person alone in his own image. Do you realize that that's one reason why those squirrels in North Carolina never stopped to marvel and wonder at me? You know, it doesn't matter how glorious a sunrise, no animal plans to get up early to see it and take pictures of it. We go down into the depths of the sea to look at amazing creatures down there, sometimes at great expense and great risk. But they down there never venture up to see an ooh and ah at our fireworks or boat parade or my pillows or whatever. The place was made for the people by the same God who made them both. The question is, why? Why? If you wonder why it is that Satan has tried so hard to get humanity to elevate the place above the people, if you wonder why that is, it's precisely because Satan doesn't want humankind to ask why and who. That brings us to the third thing in the text. We talked about a place. We talked about a people. Number three, and most importantly, I want you to notice there's a purpose. And beloved, I do not want us to miss this because there's far more to this than we realize. Verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." Today, if you will, hear his voice. Now, wait a minute. Hear this. The Maker is speaking. And furthermore, the Maker is speaking to his creation, and not just creation, but to his, quote, people. You see the word hand there in verse 7? We are the sheep of his hand. That means the hand of shelter and leading and protection as a shepherd. That's amazing. The only thing is, verse 5 says, that the same hand that guides and leads us like a shepherd, that same hand, what, formed the dry land. And then verse 4 says, in his hand are all the deep places of the earth. So what's the Lord truly emphasizing in his word to you and I? The Maker. Hear this. The Maker made a place, and then he made a people who are born in that place. And now he is making those people for another place. I'll remind you that the psalm begins in verse 1 with these words, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." He has a purpose and a plan in saving and redeeming. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Over in Great Britain right now, there's a military recruitment ad. It's very similar to our old army ad that used to say, "Be all you can be." Right? And it would show these young men, you know, venturing out and becoming stronger and smarter and greater and better because they joined the army. Across the pond, this ad shows a young boy goofing around at 6 years of age, getting into mischief at 13, pulling pints at 16, doing nothing at 17. But then he joins the Royal Navy, and it shows him getting fit in training. It shows him traveling to 7 continents and learning how to operate machinery and weapons and make life-saving decisions, so that by the end of the ad, he has been transformed from this earlier boy who was aimless and weak and drifting into this confident, strong, highly motivated man. And in the ad, as he narrates his own story, he says these words. His last lines in the ad say this: "I put my life in the hand of others. I held their lives in mine. I left home. I wrote home. I found a new home. I did things I never dreamed I would, overcame things I never thought I could. The elements, the distance, the fears, the doubts. Sure, he says, and this is the last line. Sure, he says, I was born in Carlisle, but I was made in the Royal Navy. Now hear me carefully. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, says, everyone that is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. In other words, sure, I was born in Norfolk, Virginia, but I'm being made in heaven. The maker, you see, isn't finished with you yet. Look, think of the Apostle Paul. Because in his early days, he was called Saul of Tarsus. That was his name, basically. He was Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus because that's where he was born. That's the place. And you know, for much of his life, it fit him. For most of his life, it fit. He was just this guy from Tarsus. But by the time he writes his last words in 2 Timothy, when he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. Nobody, beloved, nobody thinks of Tarsus. He was born in Tarsus, but he was made in heaven. Let me put it to you this way. I look around this room and I know where some of you were born. Yezin, born in Amman, Jordan, and Rania in Cairo, Egypt. But I don't think of Amman and I don't think of Cairo when I see them. I think Christian, American, and more importantly, I think heaven. Scott was born in Melbourne, Australia. Luisa, Bogota, Colombia. Ruth was born in Guadalajara. John and Mary, both born in Beirut, Lebanon. Ned was born in Charlottesville, Virginia. Mary Beth in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Emi, Nagano, Japan. But can I tell you something? That's just where they were born. You see, folks, this place which God made is beautiful. It is marvelous. And sometimes it takes your breath away. It was made to take your breath away. But you are not defined by the place. You're not even defined by the place where you were born, nor even with the people that you were born with. God's purpose is that the Maker is still making you from that heavenly place where Jesus says you were born again. I will simply remind you that when Jesus said you must be born again, the word again in the Greek there is anothen. It means from above. You were born there when you were born again. And it is from that place that he is remaking you every single day until God calls you home. And so in Psalm 95, you will notice that there's so much emphasis here on you and I expressing joy and expressing gratitude. Look at verse 1, would you? Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. When was the last time you did that? Well, Pastor, I'm waiting for Thanksgiving Day service. Really? Make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all. Look, when that young Brit said, I was born in Carlisle, but I was made in the Royal Navy, he was just giving credit where credit was due. He was making the statement then, acknowledging that the Royal Navy made him into a man. And so the Bible says, let us go to him with thanksgiving and praise. In that poem, I mentioned earlier all things bright and beautiful. The last stanza says, the tall trees in the greenwood, the meadows where we play, the rushes by the water to gather every day. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who hath made all things well. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, some people, even believers, maybe some in this room, some people love to acknowledge the place is what God made. And they'll put all kinds of things on Facebook and Twitter, whatever. Pretty little pictures, and they'll say a word. They love to acknowledge the place that God made, and well, they should, but that's as far as they go. God's people know that the real miracle is it's the people he's still making. God's people understand that the place that he made is just the place. But there's something eternal about the people that he's making. Young people in this room, you hear me carefully. You are not defined by the place of your birth or the conditions of your home or even of your earthly last name. And in fact, whoever you are and wherever you're from and wherever you are right now, God is not even close to being finished with you. It is why Paul testified. He said, I am not meet to be called an apostle. I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy. Paul said this. He says, I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But he didn't stop there. That's where a lot of people would stop and wallow and just go back to the place where they were born. Saul of Tarsus. Not him. He knew, he says, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But he said, I am what I am. In other words, yeah, that's what I am. Go ahead and call me an apostle. Because by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. And by the same token, beloved, I'm not what I'm going to be either. And neither are you because he's still making you. You know, it's interesting to me how otherwise smart travelers will go off a perfectly good road, making great time on a trip, just to go see something that's really a waste of time. We're going to get off the highway here. For instance, hey kids, we're getting off the main road, I-40, to go to Hope, Arkansas, to see the birthplace of Bill Clinton, our 42nd president. And of course, there's a plaque in front of the little old White House. And it's all staged like it might have looked in the late 1940s. Because it's the birthplace of William Jefferson Clinton. And for me, I would totally be that kid who says, okay, Dad, can we go now? In fact, truth is, I'd be the adult who says, oh, okay, can we go now? And to be honest, for me, that really applies to just about anybody's birthplace. Their birthplace. It's not impressive. In Kentucky, there is a replica of the log cabin where Lincoln was born. And people get off the highway to go see it. Here's a fun fact. For 3 years, we lived in, as a family, Adana, Turkey. Incirlik Air Force Base. Well, do you know where Adana, Turkey is? It is essentially the ancient city of Tarsus. For 3 years, I lived where Saul was from. You say, Pastor, did you ever get to see the actual spot of Paul's birthplace? I don't know. I may have flown a kite over it, maybe kicked a soccer ball next to it. All I can tell you is it ain't that special. A lot of rocks. I remember a couple earthquakes, I think. What is special is the man God made. is not the place. It is the man that God made who was simply born in that place. The man God continued to make until he was called to his own eternal home. Yes, his eternal place. So, you know, when I see Paul, as we have been studying so much in the book of Acts, when I see Paul at the end of his journey, I don't see Saul of Tarsus at all. Nobody does. Oh, his Roman citizenship did him no good when they took his head off. What did do him good was when he said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Henceforth, there is waiting, laid up for him a crown. I don't see Saul of Tarsus. What I see at the end of his journey is the purpose of God, fulfilled in a man who was made in heaven. This is why verse 7 says to us, look at it, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hear me. Do not harden your heart when the maker, when the creator, when God speaks to that heart, because he's still making your heart. In the great metaphor of the Old Testament, he made it again, another vessel. The potter was making the clay and the piece got hard and he took it out and he redid it and he made it again, another vessel. When he speaks to your heart, he's still working as only he can to make, to create a trophy of his grace. You know what's amazing and powerful? Verses 7 through 11 in this psalm are quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and quoted in the same context of God being a builder and a maker. I want to read it to you from Hebrews 3 and I want you to hear it very carefully. For every house is builded by some man. The Souter brothers built our first home in North Palm Beach Heights. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. He's the maker. He's the creator of all things. Then he says this, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Wow. He's building and making us. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, that's in parenthesis in Hebrews, is referring to Psalms. What's it saying? It's saying that that psalm was written by the Holy Spirit, not by man. And God's people said, amen. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The carpenter, the creator, the maker. Beloved, he is not even close to being finished with your heart. And what we as his people must do is soften our heart and hear his voice. It is the heart of the person in this room that hears his voice and doesn't harden his heart that God continues to make into a trophy of his grace. And we must hear his voice, soften our heart, do his will, and as the psalm says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Can I tell you what the purpose of God and all of it is? You look at the place, the stars, he made them. As magnificent and innumerable as they are, the scripture says, in one little throwaway line, we would call it, he made the stars also. We're supposed to look at the glory of this place, the magnificence of it, and glorify the maker of it. But then we're supposed to recognize and remember that when he made you, it was very good because he has this eternal purpose. That when people see your walk and hear your talk and listen to your voice and see your actions, they can say, there's a person who was made in heaven. Made in heaven. They may have been born in Jupiter. In my case, born in Virginia. In Andy's case, born in Knoxville, Tennessee, July 5th. We were at the Sun Sphere, downtown Knoxville, watching the fireworks go off. Louise is this big. and the fireworks were going off, and she was going into labor. And I said, maybe it's July 4th, baby. So did you know that for the first 10 years of his life, we would tell him, the fireworks are for your birthday, Andy. Really? That's so nice. I think he still believes it, but don't tell him. Rick was born in Port Huron, Michigan. First church I worked in. Ben, Jupiter, Florida. Wherever you were born, may it be said of you, by the time you finish your journey, because you never stop listening to his voice, that person was born in heaven. That person was made in heaven, because the purpose of our lives is to glorify the Maker who makes all things new. Some of you listening have been made, you were born in this place, but you haven't been born again in that place. Jesus said you have to be born of the flesh and the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit, Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. You must be born again, anothen. You must be born from above. Why? So that he can make you, continue making you into a trophy of his grace. And that trophy is eternal. This place up there we're going to, it is eternal. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's for the saved and the lost. Father, bless now the invitation and thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that as magnificent and glorious and beautiful as this place is that you made, that you have made a place that is eternal and are making people for that place. Please, Lord, help us not to harden our hearts. Help us to hear your voice today. And in so doing, obey your will and come into your presence with thanksgiving. Bless the invitation and for those who have asked for prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.